Sports Bash on ESPN Radio, presented by the new AT&T. We've had a blast already today. We've still got more to come. If you missed any of today's guests, like Buster Olney, Tim Kirchen, don't worry about it. We got you covered. Be sure to sign up to be an ESPN Radio Insider. You can download it right after the show. Mike and Mike, The Herd, Dan Patrick, The Sports Bash, and more on demand for whenever you want to listen to your interviews on your computer, your iPod, your MP3 player. It's all there. Insider details at ESPNradio.com. Story of the day we've been talking about right out of the gates and continuing through and getting lots of emails on it. Keep them coming to the Michelin inbox, sportsbash at ESPNradio.com. A study by a University of Pennsylvania professor and a graduate student from Cornell was published today in the New York Times. It suggests that NBA referees might show bias against black players. According to this study, which examined foul calls from 1991 to 2004, white referees called fouls at a greater rate against black players than against white players. I see a lot of problems with this study, and I'll tell you why as we go on here. NBA Commissioner David Stern told the New York Times that last year, the league saw a draft of that academic study, and this March was then moved to conduct its own study, using a database that they have of foul calls. Stern told the Times that after reviewing its own data, the NBA concluded there's no bias. The NBA responded strongly and angrily today, saying the study the report was based upon has flawed statistical methodology and is dead wrong. In fact, the quote from the NBA office is, the story is based upon a paper that is flat out wrong in its conclusions, and we're disappointed they ran the story this way. Here's the biggest problem I see with it. A couple of big problems in this one. The study was done using box scores. Nobody watched these games. In fact, they would look at the names of the three referees at the top of the box score, and then they went and got a former NBA official who they would not say who it was for reasons that are clear. They wanted to anonymously. Basically, he just told them, yeah, that person's black, that person's white. I don't know if that person's mixed or whatever. So that's what they based this whole thing on. They looked at every game for 13 years. But that's the problem right there. They can look at the makeup of crews. Maybe there was two white guys and a black guy in certain crews. Maybe there were three white guys and no African-Americans in another crew. Maybe all three guys were African-Americans. They knew that. They don't know which referee made which call against which player. And until you know that, you can't possibly make the study. You can say, and they very carefully worded it, you can say, well, it's based on the crew. The composition of the crew will dictate by 2.5 to 4.5% of a difference how many more fouls get called against African-American players. Well, you can look at that, and that's fine. But it still doesn't tell you which referee made which call and whether it has anything to do with racial bias. Charles Barkley was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today, and he was almost falling off his chair laughing at this thing.
Next they're going to tell me the fat people eat more food than skinny people. Dan, that is the most, that out of all the surveys I've heard in my life, that might be the most stupid study I've heard for two reasons. Number one, there are a lot more black players in the NBA. So, of course, there are going to be more calls by white referees against black players. But also, I bet your black referee called more fouls against black players. For them to come out with a statement like that is irresponsible and it's asinine. Come on, Dan. That's just stupid for them to come out saying that.
That's Charles Barkley today on the Dan Patrick Show. Now, look, you can talk about what we just spoke about, the fact that they don't even know which player was called for a foul by which referee. They don't even know that. And yet they're making this study. The NBA says it studied, had its own internal independent investigation. They hired somebody to come in and look at it, looked at 148,000 calls. And they knew which referee was making the call against which player. They say they couldn't find any evidence of any statistical difference or anything else. Here's the biggest problem I have with it more than anything. It goes against basic human instincts. Even if this racial problem is subconscious, and reading what I wrote or what I read in the New York Times today, Even the authors of this study suggest that, look, it may not even be and probably isn't even overt racism, but it could be a part of what we see in a lot of other studies, which suggests that there is kind of institutionalized subconscious racism going on, where people look at someone who's different than they are, and the split second that they make that call or the split second that they make a decision, maybe that's what decides whether or not they're going to make that certain decision. I don't agree with that, because to me there's an even stronger basic need that humans have. That is self-preservation. These officials, they don't get to go out there and say, well, it's not. This isn't like, you know, in the backwoods somewhere where they can say, well, we're going to take care of this game tonight. Oh, look who's on that team. We're going to make sure he doesn't get a fair shake. Nobody's doing that. I don't think consciously or unconsciously. And I'll tell you why. Self-preservation is the strongest instinct I know of in a human being. These guys are protecting their own jobs. They're protecting their own interests when they go out to referee a basketball game. They can't afford to be consistently wrong. They can't afford to be seen as being biased. You don't hear about it. The league never puts out a press release at the end of the year saying, well, after careful and careful consideration and review of all the officials in the NBA this past year, we've decided that of the 60 officials employed with us, only 51 will be returning. But guess what? There's turnover in NBA officials every year. The guys that stick around, even though you might not like them, and even though I might not like them, and even though our perception is they're not great officials, and we wonder why they keep coming back year after year after year after year, generally the NBA weeds a couple of officials out every year. You don't hear about it a lot of times, and sometimes it's more than others, and sometimes there aren't guys. But if you're not good at what you do, you're not going to be around very long. The NBA is worth billions and billions of dollars. They can't afford to be seen as having referees that are partial one way or the other. That's why they go to great lengths of doing things like they did with Joey Crawford a couple of weeks ago. They saw something that they thought was a problem. They called Joey Crawford into the office. Joey Crawford took offense to them calling him into the office, said, I'd still do this, and I'd still make the same call the same way. And the NBA said, well, you're wrong. And until you can see that you're wrong, maybe it's best that you don't officiate in our league for a while. And Joey Crawford said, well, I'm not changing the way I do things, so right now I don't want to be an official in the NBA. That really happened. You either get the calls right on a consistent basis, and you're a good official, or you're not. And they get graded and reviewed every single night. Let me take you back behind the locker rooms. This is how it happens every night after an NBA game. The officials go back. They've had a long, hard game. They take a shower. They put on their street clothes. They all get together, and they file a report about what happened in the game. Controversial calls, anything out of the ordinary. This is what happened. With 8:42 to go in the third period, there was a call made here. This is the way I saw it. We talked with both coaches. One of them disagreed. Here's why we made the decision we made. They go back, they look at the tape of their game and any controversial decisions or anything they have questions about right then and there before they even leave the arena. They take a look at it right then or there. They file their report. They send it into the league. The league reviews it. They go over the tape. Then they have meetings and they talk about it and they have reviews. I'm not saying it makes the referees perfect. They make mistakes and some are better than others. But just out of sheer self-preservation, knowing the kind of scrutiny you're under from the league office, you're not going to go out of your way to be biased against anybody or any one team. That's the one thing you're supposed to guard against. And if the NBA and the people inside the league office, many of whom are minorities and of African American descent, and they're reviewing you, you're not going to last very long. So I think there are a lot of problems here, and I would kind of tend to agree with the NBA on this. It's a fascinating subject. As I said earlier today, provocative, no question about it. And maybe the most important thing about this is that it's another way we can bring the race thing out into the open and have a real, maybe even kind of academic discussion about it. But this, from what I can see right now, and I've been saying this all day, I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert in statistics. But to try and quantify through as many different variables as you want to, what's in the mind of someone based on the results of their calls on whether the referee is white or black and whether the player was white or black and you don't even know exactly which referee is making the call against which player. You only know the crew that was there. That doesn't hold up. It can't hold water. And look, the NBA, I give them credit. This was brought to their attention when they found out the study was being done. They found out what the preliminary results were, and they said to themselves, we might have a problem. David Stern's pretty good at this. We got a problem. Let's check it out. So they went and they did their own study. And they went back, not for 13 years, but over 3 years, for 148,000 calls where they knew who the referee was, where they knew who the player that got the foul called upon him was. And they could match the things up. Now, these guys asked for that information. The guys who did the study asked for that information from the NBA. NBA said, no, we can't give it to you. It's a personnel matter, and it has to do with how we privately evaluate our officials. We're not going to tell you how one official did versus another official. We discuss that with them and with their union, and they either stay employed with us, they get raises with us, or they don't, or they're gone. And that's a personnel issue, and I think most of us agree that your personnel issues probably don't need to be splashed all over the place. So that was the story of the day. They talked about it on Outside the Lines. We heard from Charles Barkley on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today. Feel free to keep the emails coming in. I read them all. It's Michelin Inbox, sportsbash@espnradio.com. Had a great time today. As always, can't believe that we're already out of time, but that's the way it goes. We're going to try and come back and do it again 21 hours from now. A lot of stuff going on. I can't wait to go watch more NBA playoffs tonight. I only hope that some of these games, like Nuggets Spurs, I only hope that that can live up to what we saw with the Warriors and the Mavericks last night. We'll talk about it tomorrow if it does. Sports Bash on ESPN Radio.